Okay, we're learning Perek Chaf of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and we are up to Pasuk Chaf Dalet. So if you remember the first half of the Perek, we did the first half last week, we can do the second half this week. The first half of the Perek essentially dealt with David HaMelech, or David, it's not the Melech yet, keep saying that. But David, runs away, he flees from Shaul, and he comes back home. He meets up with Yonasan. He's trying to figure out what to do and trying to get a real handle on what Shaul's feelings towards him are. And he makes a whole plan with Yonasan. He's going to skip the Rosh Chodesh Suda, and Shaul's going to notice, and Yonasan will feel out Shaul and see where he's holding. And then Yonasan will come back and we'll send the message back to David. So let's see what happens. This half of the parak essentially is the implementation of the plan and exactly what happens. So let's see what happens. So we'll begin with Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Vayisaser David Basada. So David hides in the field as he and Yonasan made up. Vayhi HaChodesh, and it was Rosh Chodesh. Vayeshev HaMelech El HaLechem Le'echol. And Shaul has his Rosh Chodesh Seuda. He sits down to a suda. He sits down to a meal, and he has his Rosh Chodesh Seuda. Pasuk Chaf Hei. So now the drama is going to begin, right? Pasuk Chaf Hei. Vayeshev HaMelech al Moshavo kefam befam el Moshav Hakir. So Shaul sits in his normal place, which apparently is by the wall. The Farshim say it was the head of the table. Vayakom Yehonasan. Now Yehonasan gets up. Okay, now it's interesting. You have to read the pasuk carefully. Yonasan gets up. That means that he was already seated, right? That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he was already seated. So that's what it sounds like. We have to figure out what, why and what. So he gets up, and then Vayeshev Avner mitzad Shaul. Avner, who was the general, right, sits down next to Shaul. Vayipaked mikom David. And the place of David, Vayipake, literally means it was remembered. The place of David was remembered. Okay, now what exactly does this mean? So the Mefarshim understand that Yonasan, you see here, we'll skip for a moment the Vayakam Yonasan. We'll talk about that in a second. But just, in terms of the seating arrangement here, it's interesting. Yonasan is not sitting next to his father, right? Shaul's the Melech. Yonasan is his son. Why doesn't Yonasan sit next to his father? Instead, Avner sits next to Shaul.
Avner sits on the
right of Shaul? We don't know. It just says Mitzad. I don't know. I'm not sure. Right. Well, yeah. Well, he gets up. He gets up.
Who?
Who's the, we don't know that. It doesn't say that Yonasan sat down next to Shaul, right? It says Yonasan got up, Avner sits down next to Shaul, and David's place is empty. That's what the pasuk says. Now Rashi says here that Yonasan did not sit next to Shaul. Why? He says because in those days, how did they eat? They ate reclining, like we find in Tanakh, we find in Chazal. They ate reclining like on some sort of a couch type of thing. So now they're reclining on this couch. So says Rashi, it's not derech eretz for a son to sit next to his father in that position. The father's, kind of reclining on the couch. It's not derech eretz. So that's why you find in the Gemara in Brachos, it talks about, what the derech eretz is, that where a person should sit. If you have two people and one of them is a bigger, a bigger Talmid Chacham, one of them is a lesser Talmid Chacham, and they're both reclining, where should they sit? Should the lesser Talmid Chacham sit by the bigger Talmid Chacham's head? Should he sit by his feet? You have all these halachos in the Gemara and Brachos. So we see that there are different, whether it's halachos or hanhagos of derech eretz when it comes to sitting next to people, reclining and things like that. So Rashi says it wasn't derech eretz for Yonasan to sit next to Shaul, and that's why he didn't sit there. And that's why he put Avner next to Shaul. That's Rashi's understanding. That's Rashi's explanation. The Radak gives a different explanation, and he says Yonasan was nervous. He didn't sit next to Shaul because he's nervous. What's he nervous about? Because Shaul's going to find out, he's going to realize that David's not there, and what might very well be the reaction of Shaul? He might get upset. He might get upset, and he might get upset at Yonasan, because we know that Yonasan is involved here, and Shaul kind of has an inkling that Yonasan is involved. So Yonasan is nervous. If I'm sitting next to Shaul, I'm sitting next to my father, and he gets mad, maybe he's going to hit me. Maybe he'll lash out at me. So that's why Yonasan was nervous, and he didn't want to sit next to his father. So Rashi says it was because of Derech Eretz. The Radak says it was because he was nervous. He didn't want to get hurt. And the Malbim has a third approach, where the Malbim says that no, at first Yonasan sat in David's place, and he says David's seat was actually the seat next to Shaul. That was the seat next to Shaul, was David's seat. You know, maybe because he was the Menagin, he was the one who played the harp for him, and he was also his son-in-law at that point. So that was David's seat next to Shaul. Yonasan first sat down in David's seat, says the Malbim. And that's why the Pasuk says, Vayakom Yonasan. He sat down first in his seat, then he waited till Shaul came. Once Shaul came, he gets up from David's seat, and he moves, and he goes to sit in I guess, the place where he usually sits. Why did he do that? He did that specifically to call attention to the fact that David wasn't there. Right, because by specifically getting up after Shaul had already entered the room, and now Yonasan gets up from David's seat, goes to a different seat, and leaves David's seat empty, and says the Malbim, that's why the pasuk concludes Vayipokeid Mekom David, that David's place was left empty. So that's the Malbim's understanding, that he did this bekavana, he did it intentionally in order to get Shaul thinking, hey, you know, why is that seat empty? Where's David? What's going on? Yeah. Okay, so you know, I'm saying by my table, by your table, that's how it is. But by the king's table, it's not so posh. You know, I imagine like at state dinners, it's the same thing. You don't just, you know, if the president invites you to a state dinner, you don't just sit wherever you want. You know, there's a specific seat. You know, the president sits one place, the first lady. You know. Yeah.
I was thinking Shaul sat at the head of the table, and then on the right was
yeah, I don't know. It's hard to see. It's hard to know exactly what it looked like. You know, the Mefarshim do say it was at the head of the table, but the pasuk always says it also said it says it was by the kir, it was by the wall. I don't know exactly what that means. I'm not sure exactly what the you know what the room looked like. I'm not sure. I mean, we find the wall. You know, the wall keeps coming up because Shaul keeps throwing his spear at the wall. You know, and then David gets in the way. Okay.
Now they're in the field.
Well, David's in the field. Right, yeah, they're not in the. They're in the palace. Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Chavav. Velo diber Shaul meuma bayom hahu. Now Shaul did not say anything. He didn't say bu on that day. He didn't say anything. Okay. I mean, he noticed that David wasn't there. Right? That's what the pasuk says. Vayipakein mekom David. So he noticed David was missing, but he didn't say anything. Ki omar, because he said to himself, mikrehu. So Pashup Shad Mikrehu means it's a coincidence. He's not here. Something came up. He couldn't make it. Bilti Tahor Hu Kilo Tahor. And he must not be pure because he's not pure. Right? So it's a double language at the end there, that he must not be pure. He's not pure. And that's why he's not there. So what does that mean? So the Radak gives, well, let's see Rashi first. So Rashi says that that maybe he was actually Tumei. Now, nowadays, we're not so worried about Tumei and Tahara, right? We're not so concerned about Tumei and Tahara. But in those days, you know, they were more concerned. In fact, the Radak suggests a couple of things. But one of the things he suggests is that even, you know, certainly if the food was hektish, then you had to be Tahara, right? You're not allowed to eat food that's hektish if you're in a state of Tumei. So certainly if the food is hektish, you have to be tahor. But what if the food is chulin? What if the food is regular food? It's a regular hamburger and a hot dog. It's not hektish. So technically, you don't have to be tahor to eat that. You could be tamei to eat chulin. It's not an issue. However, says the Radak, that there were those who were makbid, who were careful to eat everything but tahara. to make sure they were tahor whenever they ate. And therefore, he says maybe that was the practice in Shaul's, you know, home as well, that that they wouldn't eat with people that were tamei, even though the food was chulin. So that was his first thought, that maybe David is tamei, and that's why he didn't come, right? That's why he didn't come to eat, because, you know, we're all makbid here to make sure that we're tahor in order to eat. That's one possibility. Another possibility, he says, is that maybe it was specifically because it was the king, meaning maybe this wasn't a prevalent custom at that time to make sure that you were tahor when you were eating chulin, but maybe in the house of the king it was different. You know, everybody else, they ate chulin even if they were tamei. But, you know, in the house of the king, the palace of the king, so then you know, the everybody was very makbid to be tahor if they were eating with the king.
I don't know.
This might be the source, yeah. So again, until right now, according to these two explanations of the Radak, the food is not hektish. The food was regular food called chulin. And even though technically you don't have to eat it bitahara, you could be tamei if you're eating chulin. But he suggests one of these two things. Either that was the practice then, that even though it was chulin, and even, you know, but still people made sure to eat it bitahara, or maybe in the palace of the king, they were extra machmir, you know, to make sure that they were tahor before eating chulin.
They had other months previously.
Correct. Well, yeah, I mean, well, this is the first time that it's important. You know, I mean, we never had it before. Now, he does suggest that it is possible that there was hektish here, right? It's possible. He said maybe Shaul brought a carbon shlomim, right? And he was feeding that to his guests, and that's hektish. So maybe then, you know, everybody really needed to be tahor, and that's why Shaul was thinking maybe that's why David's not here, because he's tamei, and he can't eat the hektish. So again, what was the tumah? The tumah presumably was he had some sort of an emission. He didn't have time to go to the mikvah. That's what the mefarshim seemed to say was the tumah here. This is all, you know, a little bit of a medrash. The Radak says that poshepshat ki amar mikrehu. Again, according to the medrash, mikre is from the language of keri, which implies that he had some sort of an emission that would require him to go to the mikvah. But the Radak says that's not the pashup shot. Pashup shot in mikre is that it was a coincidence. Something came up, right? So either something came up and he couldn't make it, or he was not tahor, or he was impure and he couldn't make it. Now the Malbim inserts into this thought process of Shaul that he was thinking something derogatory about David. He wasn't just saying, oh, maybe David's not here because he's tamei, whatever. He was thinking that David is not a good guy, right? Because he's tamei. Why? Because during the day he's thinking inappropriate thoughts, and that's why at night he's becoming tamei. And that's what's going on. That's why he's not here, because he became tamei at night and he couldn't go to the mikvah. That's why he's not here. Why did he become tamei at night? Because obviously he's thinking inappropriate thoughts during the day. So the Malbim inserts something derogatory about David into this thought process. According to the other Mefarshim, it wasn't really derogatory. He was just thinking, why is he not here? Okay, maybe he's tamei, that's why he's not here. But according to the Malbim, it's like a shtach. You know, he's inserting some sort of an insult or something derogatory into his thought process, that he's saying, no, David's not a good guy, and that's why he's not here. Where again, you know, shall we find, according to this, if you go with this approach of the Malbim, where Shaul is like getting worked up. You know, he sees David's not there. It's not just that he notices his absence. He's already getting worked up. You know, then why is he not here? Because he's not a good guy. He's not a good person. That's why he's not here. Okay, Pasuk Chav Zayin. But again, he doesn't say anything. He just thinks to himself that the first day. He doesn't say anything. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayimi macharos hachodesh hasheni. And it was the second day. Now, this is interesting language. Mimacharos hachodesh hasheni. Right, what does that mean? So some of the Mefarshim understand Rashi and others understand that it's referring to the second of the month. Okay, so that means that it was a month that had one day Rosh Chodesh, which was Aleph, right? Aleph of the month was, we don't know what month it was, but Aleph of the month was Rosh Chodesh. And this was the second day of that month. It was no longer Rosh Chodesh. The Malbim and the Smag understand that this is referring to the second day of Rosh Chodesh. This was also Rosh Chodesh. And in fact, it's interesting. I saw in a Sefer, Rav Lopiansky has a Sefer on the Vim. and he quotes the Smag, that the Smag says that you see from this pasuk the concept of a 2-day Rosh Chodesh. Right? Where else do you see in Tanakh an idea of a 2-day Rosh Chodesh? Right? You find Rosh Chodesh. We don't talk about 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. You find it in Mishnayos, and the Gemara talks about 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. But where do you see in the Pesukim? So he says here, right in this pasuk. This is the source in Tanakh for a 2-day Rosh Chodesh. And he says, that's the pshat, Vahimi Machras HaChodesh HaSheni, that it was the second day of the 2-day Rosh Chodesh. Right? You see this concept from here. Okay. Vahipakeid Mekom David. And again, David's seat is empty. Shaul looks and he sees David's seat is empty. And now, already he's not going to remain silent. He's going to ask and find out what's going on. Of course, who does he ask? Vayomer Shaul al Yohanan b'no. So Shaul turns to Yonasan, his son. And he says, Madu alo ba venyishai, gam temo gam ayom el alochem. What's going on with David? Yesterday he didn't come to the Suda. Today he didn't come to the Suda. Where is this kid? Why Ben Yishai?
Yeah, he's actually,
good question.
He doesn't want to give David, you know, he's angry at David, maybe. I don't know. And he doesn't want to say his name.
Maybe it's something derogatory. Could be. Could be. Yeah. Ben Yishai, yeah. Yeah, I'm trying, you know, we say it in Lechadodi, right? We call Ben Yishai. Right. I don't know. It could be derogatory. I'm not sure. What I saw in the Mepharshim, I didn't see it. I didn't see that. I didn't see that. But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's derogatory. He's saying, you know, where's that kid? You know, where's Palakov? You know, it's a derogatory way of saying it. Yeah. Right. All right.
So you say his father's
Yeah, it's like a last name, Ben Yishai, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Rabbi, the reason why he said Ben Yishai is because that's how Doeg and Avner refer to him in the derogatory way, and that's why Shaul did it no problem.
Doeg and Avner refer to him in a derogatory way.
Doeg and Avner never called David. They would always say Ben Yishai, and that's why Shaul adopted it.
Uh-huh, interesting. Okay.
It's a Rashi in Shmuel Rabba.
Okay, there we go. Shkoyach. Shkoyach. Huh?
It quotes a Medrash.
Mikey Nadelbach.
Told him, Doeg is going to be my future king. Why should I respect him? He's from Moab.
Aha. Interesting. Okay. So according to that, Shkoyach. So thank you very much. So according to that, so Doeg and Avner never referred to him in a respectful way. And like you're saying, that's what Aaron is suggesting, that Shaul adopted that as a sign of disrespect to David. He adopted that. Okay, good. Excellent. That's the Medrash. Very nice. Okay, good. Okay, fine. Somebody asked, wasn't the second Rosh Chodesh created when the Golus happened so the people outside of Israel would know? No, the second day of Rosh Chodesh, it's a little complicated how that comes about. Rosh Chodesh, it used to be, obviously, that they accepted the testimony of witnesses who saw the new month. I'm sorry, who saw the new moon. When they saw the new moon, they would come to testify, you know, in the Sanhedrin, and they would say then that day was Rosh Chodesh. They would only accept the testimony on a couple of days, which they worked out according to a cheshbon, according to a mathematical calculation they did in advance, where they knew, based on these calculations, that the moon would only be seen on one of, I believe, 2 days. So on those 2 days, they would accept, you know, on either one of those 2 days, they would accept the Eidos. Now, when it was the 30th day of the month, so that day, if Eidim came that day and testified about the new moon, so then that day would become Aleph of the next month, right? So the previous month would end up with only 29 days, and the next month would be Aleph, right? And that would be the one day Rosh Chodesh, so to speak. However, if it was the 30th day and Eidim did not come until very, very late in the day when it was too late to inform people, so then they would declare that day Rosh Chodesh, and then the next day would be Aleph. That's where we get the 2 days Rosh Chodesh from. When the Eidim would come very late in the day, or they wouldn't come at all that day, and they would come at night or the next day, so then they would declare, you know, the Lamed would be Rosh Chodesh. That's the first day of Rosh Chodesh, and then the next day would be Aleph. That would be the next day of Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, well, right. The Korbanos were an issue. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Pasuk Chavches. So again, so Shaul is now confronting Yonasan, where is David? Bayan Yonasan is Shaul. So Yonasan says to Shaul, Nishol Nishal David Me'imadi ad Beis Lachem. David asked me if he can go to Beis Lachem. Now, if you remember, this was the plan, right? This was the plan. This is what David told Yonasan to say. You know, tell Shaul that you gave me permission. And if you remember that, since you gave me permission, therefore I'm not going to be a morid b'malchus. I'm not rebelling against the king by leaving without permission. I got permission from you, and tell him that I went to a family. I went to a family affair. I went to bring. You know, there was a family get together, and that's where I am in Beis Lechem. Pasukhov test. Vayomer shalcheini na. Right, and again, he's saying this is what David said to me. Shalcheini na ki zevach mishpacha lanu ba'ir. Please allow me to go home because we have a family get together. We're bringing a karban in Beis Lechem, v'hutzivali achi, and my brother commanded me, and my brother commanded me. Interesting, because this we don't really see in David's instructions to Yonasan, but he seems to add this in, that my brother commanded me. Rashi says that what it means is my older brother, Eliav, commanded me that I have to come home, and you got to listen to your older brother, right? Kabed es avicha ve'es imecha. Yeah, but the oldest one certainly you have to listen to. You have a mitzvah to listen, right? To the older brother. So here, my older brother Eliyav, he told me to come. I gotta come. I have a mitzvah of kibbutz. I have to come. And v'ata imatzasi chein be'einecha. If I found favor in your eyes, imaltana ve'ere es echai. Let me just sneak away and go see my brothers. Al kein lova el shulchan hamelach. That's why he did not come to the king's suda. That's why he didn't come to the king's suda. And he says, so Yonasan says, I gave him permission. Says the Malbim, I gave him permission for three reasons. Reason number one, he's got a family get together to bring a karban. That's a good reason to go. Reason number two, his brother commanded him. He's got kibud acha gadol. He's got to listen to his brother. And number three, he just said, imaltana ve'era. I just want to go see my brothers. He's not even eating and drinking over there. He's not going to be there very long. He just wants to see them, to check in, to say hi to his family, and then he'll come back. So that's why I told him he could go. Now, what's Shaul's reaction to this? Pasuk Lamid, Vayichar Av Shaul b'Yonasan. So Shaul gets furious at Yonasan. Okay, now according to the Radak, Yonasan is probably very happy now that he did not sit next to Shaul. Right? Because that's what he was nervous about, according to the Radak. Vayichar Av Shaul b'Yonasan. So Shaul is furious. Vayomer lo. And he says to him, Ben Navas Hamardus. This is some sort of an insult. Okay, it's some sort of an insult, and all the Mefarshim, struggle to explain what exactly this insult is. Ben Navas Hamardus. It sounds like he's almost insulting his mother, right? I mean, Shaul's wife, his mother, it sounds like he's insulting her. We don't know the name. We don't know the name of his mother. Now, Rashi says that it means your mother should be punished, because of what you did. Rashi points out that maybe there was a certain brazenness that his mother had. Rashi says that in the times when the Bnei Binyamin went out to find wives, and if you remember, right, the ladies used to go out to the field, and the guys would go out, and they would see them, and they would go. So when the Bnei Binyamin went out, and the women of Shiloh came to dance out in the fields, Shaul was too embarrassed. He didn't approach anyone. He didn't approach anyone. He was too embarrassed. And this woman sees Shaul, and she goes over to him. So she's brazen. All the other girls are waiting for the guys to come pick them up. And she sees Shaul. She sees, somebody she likes. And she goes after him, and she initiates the relationship. So according to Rashi, and the Radak says this also, that I see that this trait that you have of a little bit of a merit, a little bit of a rebellion against me, that comes from your mother. Your mother was also like that, where she did her own thing. She didn't care about proper process and how things should go. She saw something, she wanted it. And says the Radak, this midah that you have of rebellion, why is Yonasan rebelling? Because what I love, you hate. And what I hate, you love. Right? I don't like David and you love him. Right? So there's an element of rebellion here in you, Yonasan. And that's why he's upset.
Angry because he didn't ask him or tell him beforehand that David is right. Not going to be here. Like,
It seems from this reaction that he's not upset about the fact that Yonasan gave him permission as opposed to getting the permission from him himself from Shaul. He's upset at the fact that Yonasan likes David so much. I mean, this whole thing that David's not here and David went to Yonasan and Yonasan granted him permission. It's another expression of this love between Yonasan and David, which is getting under his skin because he hates David. Right, he hates David, and the fact that Yonasan loves David so much is driving him nuts, you know. And you see just another expression of Yonasan's relationship with David. It's making him crazy. So some of the Mefarshim also mentioned that the Radak says this, and I believe the Malbim also says it. If I'm not mistaken. Ben Navas Hamardus, that people are going to say that you're an illegitimate son, that you must not be my son. Your mother must have had an affair. And that's where you came from. Why? Because you're so disrespectful. You're so against everything that I stand for. Now, you know, I'm trying to push David HaMelech away. David away. I'm sorry. And you're bringing him close. You know what's this all about? You must be an illegitimate child. That's what people are going to say when they hear how you're talking and how you disagree with me so much and how you're so chutzpahdik. You know, you're an illegitimate child. And then the Malbim also says it's, you know, if you look at the end of the pasuk, halo yadati ki vocher at leven Yishai, you're choosing him, right? You're basically choosing him that he's going to be the next king, you know, because you're favoring him, you're granting him all these things, and it's levashtecha ulevoshes ervasimecha, it's to your embarrassment and the embarrassment of your mother. Okay, now again, levoshes ervasimecha, so that's where the Radak sees that it might be. You know, embarrassing because people are going to say that your mother had an affair and that's where you came from because of the way that you're acting. But the Malbim also says it's just embarrassing to your mother because she's going to lose the Malucha. Right now, as things stand right now, when I die, you're going to take over as king, Yonasan. Right? But if you keep helping this guy out, David, I guarantee you, he's going to be the next king and not you. You're going to lose the Malucha. Right? So it's going to be your embarrassment, Levashtecha, and it's going to be embarrassing for your mother because her son is going to lose the Malucha. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Ki chol hayomim asher ben Yishai chai. Yeah. Somebody got a question? No?
So, Rabbi, it's interesting that Medrash says how Shaul said that embarrassing for his mother, yet deep down, Shaul was saying, oh, I can't say I'm embarrassed because I'm such a modest guy. So he's really saying it's your mother's fault because she went after me and I was too modest to come get her after the battle with the...
Right.
Basically saying now, oh, I'm the one that should be embarrassed, not your mother. So he's in a sense saying it's embarrassing for me because people are going to say, oh, your son is so brash, your son is so willing to help people, but you're too modest to chase after your own wife. So deep down, Shaul was embarrassed to say, I'm the one that's embarrassed, not your mother.
That's an embarrassing thing also. Okay, very nice. Very nice. Good. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. He says, as long as David is alive, you and your malucha are not going to last, right? You're not going to be established. Your malucha is not going to be established. The ato shalach v'kachoso elai, go send for him, bring him to me, ki ven mavesu, because he's chayiv misa. He's chayiv misa. So go get him. Go get him. Okay?
The same way you
go get him back. Go get him back. Exactly. Right? That's exactly what you said is what the Mitzudas David says. You gave him permission to go, you go get him. You go get him and bring him back here because he's Chayiv Misa. Yeah. And says the Mitzudas David, putting this pasuk together with the last one, that the only reason you have to continuously save this guy's skin is only if you have chosen him to be the Melech, like the previous pasuk said. Halo yadati ki bo cherata levan yishai. You keep saving his skin, you must be choosing him as the Melech. Right? And if you're choosing him as the Melech, then you're never going to be the king. And you're not going to survive. Kilo Sikon, right? Lo Sikon Ato Malchusecha. So that's what you're doing. You're choosing him to be the next Melech and not you. Is that what you want? That's what he's giving Musar to Yonasan. Is that what you want? Okay? And says the Malbim, that even if you do become the king, right? Let's say you do become the king. As long as David is alive, your kingdom will not be strong. He's going to rebel against you. He's going to undermine your kingdom. He's going to, you know, he's going to yank the carpet out from under you. your kingdom will not be strong. And he's chayiv misa. Like I said, he's married b'malchus. It's in your best interest to find him, to bring him back, and let me kill him. Pasuk lamed beis. Yonasan does not take this sitting down. Vayan Yonasan eshol lavi vayomer elav lama yumas me'asa. Why do you want to kill the guy? What did he do? Right? What did he do? Okay? And in fact, according to what you're saying, that he's going to be, that you know for sure he's going to be the king. Okay, so if Hashem appointed him as the king, Hashem wants him to be the king, so then what did he do wrong? According to what you're saying, you're right, you've said decisively that if David HaMelech is alive, he's going to be the next king. So if he's going to be the next king, that's Hashem's will. If that's Hashem's will, then what did he do wrong? Why are you so angry at him? Okay, now, Shaul is furious. Vayotel Shaul Sachanis Alav Lehakoso. Okay, now you can understand this pasuk in one of two ways, right? It could mean that Shaul grabs the spear to kill Yonasan, right? You could read the pasuk that way, okay? And Yonasan maybe kind of escapes here, although it's not clear. You know, Pashup shot in the pasuk, I don't think is that way, because you don't find Yonasan narrowly escaping and a murder attempt here. So I think the Pashup shot, according to most Mefarshim understand it, is that Shaul takes his spear that he says, I'm going to kill David, right? Meaning, you know, bring David. He takes out his sword. Bring David to me right now so that I can kill him. That's why he's taking out his spear, because he's going to kill David as soon as David gets back. Now Yonasan sees his father means business, right? His father has made up his mind. His father's not changing his mind. This is what's going to happen. He's going to kill him and finished, right? There's no chance of a reconciliation over here, you know, and he's got to get the message now to David that you got to get out of here. You got to scram if you want to save your skin. Pasuk lamed dalet, vayakom Yohanan me'im hashulchan b'chori af. Now, Yonasan is angry. Right, Yonasan is angry. Why is my father acting like this? He's acting like a fool. You know, he's getting so upset. He's angry at David. He wants to kill him for no reason. Why is my father acting like this? So he gets angry. Bukhari af. And Yonasan did not eat anything that day. And why? Kinetzav el David. Number one, he's upset. He's upset for David. Right, he's sad, like Hatsuf. He's sad because of David. And ki ichlimo aviv, it sounds like, as Rashi says, and because his father embarrassed him. Right, imagine, you know, everybody's sitting at this suda, and this is what happens. Your father yells at you, and he screams at you, and, you know, it's embarrassing for Yonasan. So that's the way Rashi seems to say it, and the Radak also, that these are the two reasons why he didn't eat anything. He was upset, and he was embarrassed. Says the Malbim, no. He wasn't embarrassed. He was embarrassed, but that's not why. Says the Malbim that he was only upset because of David. That was the real reason why he was upset and why he didn't eat. Not because his father embarrassed him. His father embarrassing him, he could have handled, right? He was upset just because of the death sentence is hanging over David's head. That's why he's upset, right? It's ki chlimo aviv. The Malbim understands that despite the fact that his father embarrassed him, that did not make him so upset. What made him so upset was the fact that David HaMelech now has a death sentence. David HaMelech is now a wanted man. That's what made him upset. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayiv Aboker. Okay, so now it was in the morning. Vayetze Yehonasan Asada Lemoe David V'nar Katon Imo. Yonasan goes out to the field with his young servant, his Nar Katon, and he's going to now shoot target practice. And we know that this is the way, this is what he made up with David, that he's gonna notify him, he's gonna let him know. Right? Yeah, and this is Lemoed, right? Lemoed David, that this was the appointed time, this was the time that they established that he was going to meet. And the Radak says, if you look, that they actually made up to meet at night. So why is he coming in the morning? So he's coming in the morning, says the Radak, because he already knew what Shaul said. So why wait till the nighttime? Right? David's still in the field, David's not going anywhere. And he knows what Shaul feels, so let me just go right now and tell him. Well, you know, he knew where he was. You know, to carry a lantern. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Could be. Yeah. 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 So now, so this is also interesting. The Metzudas Dovin, and this is, you know, you have to look back at those psukim and figure out how each you know, Perush understands those psukim and these psukim. Metzudas Dovin says, if you look back at those psukim, they made up to meet on the second day. On the second day. Now it's already the third day. Okay? So why do you wait till the third day in the morning? So the Metzudas Dovin said that he was afraid that he would be noticed. It's maybe especially given the altercation at the Suda between Shaul and Yonasan. Yonasan felt that if I go to the field now, people are going to think, oh, he's going to talk to Dovin. But this way, I'm not going now. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to do my regular thing. In the morning, I'll get up and I'll go out to the field. By that time, people won't be thinking about it anymore. And then, you know, nobody's going to have any suspicions. And also, the morning is a normal time for people to go out. They go on a spazier, they go on a walk, they go shoot target practice. That's a normal time for people to be going out. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Yomer l'naro rutz mitzona es achitzim asher anochi moreh. So he tells his young servant, he says, I'm going to shoot the arrows and I want you to go and find them and, you know, wherever they land and go get them. Hanarots, v'hu yara hacheitzi l'haviro. So the nar takes off, he starts running, and Yonasan shoots the first arrow and he shoots it, you know, over the head of the running nar, past this young servant. Okay? Now, he's nervous. He's nervous in the field now that somebody else will be here. Maybe somebody else will show up, and they're gonna find David. And now, as the servant is looking for this first arrow, he shoots the second arrow. Vayavo pasuk lamed zayin. Vayavo hanarad mekom achetzi asher yara Yehonasan. So he finds the first arrow. Vayikra Yehonasan acharei hanar vayomer halav achetzi mimechava alei. He says, I shot another one, and the other one is past where you're standing right now. Right? Past where you're standing right now. So now if you remember, that's the first sign. The first sign, the first signal that he made up with David, right? That if he would tell the nar, halo achetzi mimechava hala, right? The arrow is past where you're standing. That's the first signal to David that he's got to run. That's the first signal to David that he's got to run. And signal number two, pasuk lamed ches, vayikra Yehonasan acharei anar, mehera chusha al ta'amod. Hurry, don't delay, right? Run right away. Vayilakeit nar Yehonasan esachitzim, vayovo el adonav. Yeah, but that's the ksiv, but the kri is achitzim. And he comes back, he grabs the two arrows, presumably. Some say he shot all three arrows here, whatever it was. But he goes and he grabs them and he brings them back to Yonasan. And now it says the Malbim, mehera chusha, right, telling him that he should hurry, that was signal number two. So he has just, you know, indicated to David with these two signals that David, you got to head for the hills. You got to run, right? Number one, he says, Achetzi mimachava hala. Number two, Mehe rechusha. Okay. Now, Pasuk Lamites, the Hanar lo yada meuma. The little kid had no clue, right? This Nar that's with him, he just thinks he's fetching the arrows. He has no clue that there's some sort of a secret signal here between Yonasan and David. Ach Yehonasan and David, Yodves Hadavar, they knew what was going on. They both understood the signal, but the kid was oblivious. Pasuk Mem, Ayitain Yehonasan as Kelov el Hanara Shelov, Ayomer lo le Chavi Ha'ir. So he knows David is there. He takes his bow and arrow, he takes his Kelim, he gives it to the young servant, and he says, do me a favor, go take this back to the city for me. And I'll be back there in a little bit. So the kid takes the Caleb, he leaves, and now it's the coast is clear, and Yonasan and David can now meet in person. Pasuk Mem Aleph, the Hanar ba, which means that the Nar left, the Nar went home. The David come me'etzel Hanegev. David comes out of the south side of this rock. If you remember, we talked about the Evan Ha'azel. That was the rock that was like the meeting point, and the Mefarshim say Yonasan was shooting at the north side of the rock, and David was hiding on the south side of the rock. So now, once the kid leaves, so now David comes out from the south, vayipol la'arpav arza vayishtachu shalosh pa'amim, and he gets out. He sees he bows down three times, towards Yonasan. Vayishku ishes re'ehu vayivku ishes re'ehu ad David higdil. And they kiss each other, they cry. Ad David Higdil. Ad David Higdil, Mefarshim, all the Mefarshim seem to say that David lost it. They were both crying, and then David starts, you know, sobbing. He starts sobbing more than Yonasan in a very loud way, carrying on. And now Yonasan says the Malbim. Yonasan gets nervous now, you know, because you know you're sobbing so loudly, somebody's going to hear us. You know, somebody's going to hear, and somebody's going to come, and they're going to find you. So he tells him, "Vayomer Yonasan le David, pasuk mem beis, lech l'shalom. You got to go, right? You got to go. I know it's painful. I don't want you to go. You don't want to go, but you have to go. Lech l'shalom. Asher nishbanu shenenu anachnu b'shem Hashem le'mor." And that which we swore to each other in the name of Hashem, saying Hashem yeh beini uveinecha uvein zari uvein zaracha ad olam, that the oath that we took to remain committed to each other forever, that I'll protect you, you'll protect me, and our children will protect each other as well, that Hashem will be the ultimate witness to that oath, and that oath will remain. And we find here that now David leaves, right? He knows 100% Shaul wants to kill him, right? They figured it out. 100% Shaul wants to kill him. He's not happy with him. David runs, and Nemirtz Hashem next week. We'll continue with Perek Chaf Aleph to next week is Shavuos. Good point, Aaron. Thank you. So we will not be learning Navi on Shavuos night. No, we'll give a different shir Shavuos night. So Nemirtz Hashem in 2 weeks. Then following the week of Shavuos, we'll pick up with Perek Chaf Aleph and see what happens with David's journey.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Can I ask a concluding question?